Blog Talk Radio.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the best man.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Who are you,
Moose?
It's
just me.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
I don't even know what that word means.
You gotta be kidding
it's
me.
It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh.
Rookies are looking to earn immunity by racing around the ring with a full keg in hand. Fastest to the finish will receive $25 and control the most PG game on TV. If by PG they mean tapping kegs of H2O, that is. It's NXT Double Dare! And now, here's your NXT Double Dare host, a man who will sell a Cody Rhodes fan and punches if it were a Mike Tyson right cross. Matt Striker!
You gotta love NXT, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, happy birthday, America. Please do not adjust your internet. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Haman. And as you can tell, I have on my panel Game Show Geeks.
Only one's here tonight.
That's true. You were only here briefly, but we will. Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Here's who I have with me right now. This may change as the hour progresses. First, coming in from the mean streets of New York and fresh from a TNA house show, the city's own Jason Block.
Nothing could be better than spending a night on Coney Island's boardwalk or near it with about 3,000 of my closest friends watching 6 TNA matches. We'll talk about that in about a minute or two.
Also from that side of the fence, and who might not be with us for the entire evening, that would be VRM.
Yeah, my mic is in the process of running out of battery power, but more importantly, one thing that can be better is probably the biggest MMA heavyweight matchup ever, Shane Carwin, Brock Lesnar. Oh, this is going to be a nice little war.
And I have somebody who has just stumbled in the door. Line 3, please introduce yourself.
Hi, it's 4th. I'm here because I think it was Josh who couldn't make it. And my opening statement is this week, we don't know how close we could have come to really one of the darkest weeks in wrestling in the last 3 years. If you know what I'm talking about.
If I'm thinking what I think you're thinking, then you're thinking what I think you are thinking, I think. I'm going to keep this show moving. Apparently, I am not the only one who has attended live events in the last 7 days, so we'll start with you, Mr. Block. You attended a TNA house show today.
Yeah, and I think it was one of the biggest and most successful TNA house shows. It took place at MCU Park, formerly known as Keyspan Park, which was the home of the Brooklyn Cyclones. They had a wrestling ring set up at home plate. The house show was incredibly well attended for a very nice Friday night show. There were about 2,000 to 3,000 people thereabouts, I would think. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but a lot of the seats behind home plate and behind the field were filled. Before the show, they had an autograph sessions with, if you bought your TNA program, at one table you had Shannon Moore of Ink Inc., Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, and Jay Lethal. At another table, you had Team 3D and Abyss. And at another, if you had a VIP, you got to autograph Jeff Hardy. Jeremy Borash was the host. There were a lot of interesting TNA merchandising deals, including we had an asshole shirt, by the way. I don't know if you've seen it. It's A*HOE, and it was Mr. Anderson shirt. RVD debuted his shirt. That was his, the Don West deal of the day. If you got that, you got the autograph at the end of the show. It was a 6-match card. Started at 7, ended about 9:30. First match was a 4-way match between Homicide, Amazing Red, both Brooklyn boys, as you know, who got a very great pop, Jay Lethal, and Brian Kendrick, who was goofy enough and a doofus before he entered the ring to run the bases, literally, around the ring, which was kind of cool. That was awesome. Amazing Red won in a very good match. Then we had Angelina Love trying to get the title from Madison Rayne, but since Madison Rayne can only defend it once every 30 days, according to her, she made it a non-title match. Thus, Angelina Love won. At that same time, they introduced Earl Hebner, who got a huge "You Screwed Brett" chant and boos, and then they debuted his "Damn Right I Did" shirt with Hebner on the back in stripes, and got, which is basically selling like hotcakes, by the way. Which was a great
surprise.
Third match was Kurt Angle versus Desmond Wolfe. In a great match, Kurt Angle made Desmond Wolfe submit to the body scissors ankle lock combination. Then, I believe either there or before that match, Jeff Jarrett basically gave a promo basically thanking the fans, thanking TNA, you know, basically putting the crowd over and putting TNA over is very, very, very nice. Oh, and by the way, since there was no real pyro or anything like that, there was only theme music, the people came out of the dugout, which was really, 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 really kind of cool. Fourth match was a Monsters Ball match, which was a rematch where Jeff Hardy defeated Abyss. Then you had intermission, and then you had the two main of the co-main events. Team 3D, huge ovation, got defeated Ink Inc., and then AJ Styles and RVD fought for the world title. RVD won, of course, but and then AJ Styles basically ripped on Nathan's and anything New York. He said Georgia had the better hot dogs. Don't ask. And it was an awesome, awesome night. It was really well done. And actually, one of the best TNA shows I've seen. I mean, it was 2.5 hours, but it was a lot of fun. Although, Jeff Hardy got a few drug dealer chants out there, which was not cool. Well, which totally New York, of course.
Oh, hell no!
Yeah, exactly. But it was, you know what, it was a really big thing, and TNA announced its return to New York City, which will be September 23rd, Thursday night, at the Hammerstein Ballroom, home of, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Well, they might be dropping just a small hint. I might have to make a phone call myself.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I honestly think Hogan, if he was a smart man, especially if this is being televised, should not come out at all. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being serious. He shouldn't come out because we know what they can do.
Stay away from that.
He stayed away from MCU Park tonight. But I mean, although we did see a picture of him on the screen, but he was barely even mentioned tonight.
Good for
which
him.
Which was a very, 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 very smart move. But, yeah, they're dropping his. And, by the way, tickets are on sale now. So very good showing for TNA. And I think what they did was they lowered ticket prices. Remember the last time I went to a TNA show and they said ringside was $100? Remember that?
Yes.
This time, TNA is, hold on 1 second, I'm sorry.
I got it, I'll call you back, okay? Bye.
Anyway, so as I was about to say was, TNA, their meet and greet VIP was only $50. Other seats were $35 and above, and below, which was a very good idea. Very good idea. They priced themselves well, and they got what their response was, which was a very well-attended house show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know?
Oh.
It was a really well done show. So I'm gonna take off if that's okay, Nikki, because you got your three.
Well, actually, you are our number four, because right now I don't have anybody else in.
Okay, so I will stay. Okay.
So you're please stick around. But fourth, VRM, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm still here.
And you're still here, fourth grade. I promise I'll try to keep this very brief. I'm going to give you guys a quick rundown of the house shows I attended this past weekend, and we'll get to some real news, I promise. Saturday and Sunday, I attended house shows at Youngstown and Wheeling with near identical cards, although admittedly I found more doofuses in Youngstown, including two guys dressed as DX. If by some strange coincidence you guys are listening, I got you guys backwards, I apologize. Let's see. Card opened with an excellent match between Zack Ryder and Evan Bourne. Bourne over in a gorgeous and with his gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous shooting star press. Our second match was an old school style bout between William Regal and Goldust. At the Youngstown show, Regal found a fan that he was more than happy to spend time jawjacking with, and no, it wasn't me. Not for lack of trying on my part. Goldust wins on pretty much a cash and power slam. Sorry? I thought somebody was breaking in. Sorry.
Nope.
Let's see. Vladimir Kozlov comes out for the third match, gets on the microphone, and complains that ever since he was traded to Raw, he has had nothing to do. He wants competition, and he's not leaving the ring until he gets it. So out bounces Yoshikatsu. And Kozlov takes it in what wasn't really a squash, but rarely in doubt. Let's see. Dust settles from that. Ted DiBiase comes out with his eye candy and Maryse.
Very good.
Yes, he was wearing the $1 million belt, it is just as gorgeous in person. So he was bragging about how rich he was and how poor we were, and was to be silenced by John Morrison. I unfortunately cannot speak intelligently of this match because I had 14 very good reasons to sit and enjoy it. Morrison wins on Starship Pain, despite any interference on Maryse's part, was not enough to stop the Monday Night Delight. Let's see. Right after intermission, out strode The Miz, who, at the Youngstown show, was complaining that he was not getting a proper response from his fellow Ohioans. I kept yelling that nobody knows where the hell Parma, Ohio is. Which is where he's from originally. The Saturday match was a triple threat. Miz, R-Truth, and Mark Henry, which, of course, Miz retained. But the match on Saturday ended abruptly when R-Truth landed wrong on a move that was aimed at Miz, missed, hit Mark Henry, and he landed incorrectly. Now, he was reaching towards his groin and upper leg area. Some reports said knee. I've also seen groin, so I'm not 100% sure, but it is his left leg, and he's playing through it for the time being. They decided to rest him at the Sunday show. He came out for the match, but Ms. Pearl harbored him on the ramp and ended up having to face Mark Henry. Let's see. One of the variants from the shows was... In Wheeling, Edge came out for an impromptu cutting edge, bragging about how his hand is always in the Money in the Bank situation. He is always involved, whether he has the briefcase or not. He's either the one cashing it in, winning the belt, losing the belt, or helping somebody else get the belt. And anybody who wants to do their homework on this can go research this. He also made some digs at Randy Orton. Randy comes out. The two of them beat on each other and end up getting kicked out of the building thanks to an email sent to a BlackBerry from our anonymous Raw GM.
Interesting.
I didn't think the Raw GM had any way of knowing what was going on at the house shows. Nice touch, though. Let's see. Women's Divas title match had been ordered. Alicia Fox defending against Eve with Santino Marella as the guest referee, sporting Flip Johnson-styled shorts and an inordinate amount of doofus. This is, you know, we're talking about.
Yeah.
Alicia retains, as expected, but it was still a fun match, including Santino just being a goofball and doing such things as making sure he was in the correct position to be rolled over by both divas at one point, to which he celebrated, and we all yelled, "Do you need a moment or a cigarette?" main event for both nights was a cage match. The participants were different, but the setup and the ending were pretty much the same. First night was actually a tag match, Sheamus and Edge versus Cena and Orton. Second night was just Sheamus and Cena. And in that case, it was a WWE title match. The match was pretty much a setup for somebody who went and hit the big schmoz button that has the letter N on it. As six, but not seven, of the Nexus come charging the ring, rip open the cage door, punch out both of the referees that are out there, and proceed to beat the ever-loving daylights out of the faces. Heels escape. Locker room slowly empties, starting with Yoshitatsu trying to go in there to save his fellow heroes, only to be stomped down. Evan Bourne climbs the cage with Justin Gabriel climbing up right in front of him, and I'm saying, 6 months from now, I want this feud. Can I say this any louder? I want this feud. Rest of the locker room empties. They get in there and start beating the crap out of the Nexus guys. Nexus guys pour off the floor. WWE guys give chase. As a bonus at the Youngstown show, Orton dragged Michael Tarver back into the cage, threw him to Cena. Cena hit him with the attitude adjustment just to make us all go home happier. Both very good shows, and just giving us a little bit of plot advancement, but nothing that ended up translating to this week's TV. Before we get to the news, one last bit of bragging. I made a stop in Salem, Ohio, and will be adding to NikkiHayman.com once my desktop is back up and running. Two WWF legends, specifically Tammy Sitch, a.k.a. Sunny, the original Diva Valet. Miss Elizabeth, that's nothing against you there, really. And, of course, Hall of Famer, Brett, the Hitman Hart.
Woo-hoo. Awesome. Very awesome.
With the dust settled from that, I shall actually pull up the newspaper for this week. As stated on Raw, if you have watched the shows and if you're listening to this show, I implore that you actually watch the shows because we no longer do recaps here. It has been stated specifically that the Nexus is not allowed to touch the superstars are not allowed to touch the Nexus. So, what do? They find new targets, and they get a free shot when Ricky Steamboat came out to promote his DVD and to get big, heartfelt thank yous from the likes of Arn Anderson, Dean Malenko, Michael P.S. Hayes, Mike Rotundo, and I know I'm missing somebody. Was that everybody?
It was Anderson, Rotundo, Malenko, and Michael P.S. Hayes, I believe. Just four,
okay.
I think.
Okay, so
Because then Steamboat makes five, and then Lawler made six
after, when Steamboat was about to make his grand thank you speech, once again the Nexus struck. Because, as specified by Mr. Cole, and you better not be the one in charge of Nexus, I swear to God, these guys are not superstars. They're legends, which made them fair game. Now, unfortunately, we had a reverse Black Ninja-styled attack where the Nexus guys were picking off the legends one by one. Ricky Steamboat took Otunga's shitty slam, and the rest were pummeled to bits of all about the ring. The locker room, of course, could not come and assist because of the rule put in place that we can't really touch the guys. So I guess my question to the panel is, actually, VRM, if you're still with us, the question is, what do you do next with the Nexus if they can't attack any other superstars? They're probably not going to be allowed to attack announcers after the Justin Roberts incident. What can they do?
Attack arena personnel? Referees? Security?
It could come to that. Forth, any thoughts to that?
I'm thinking maybe the next thing they do is not going to be a physical assault, but maybe like do something to harass or terrify the Divas, because they did the whole superstars legends comparison, and I'd have to imagine Divas are somehow considered different as well. Again, nothing physical, because it is obviously trying to be a little more family-friendly than in years past, but definitely something like that.
Yeah, they could menace the Divas. They just really couldn't do anything because that would cut the show. That would cut the Canadian broadcast in half. Jason, what do you any thoughts?
I do, and try this on for size. You get a plant, a wrestling plant, as
okay.
a fan.
Ooh.
And you pull them out, and you beat the hell out of them.
The loophole I was hoping they were going to grab, and they didn't. They didn't try it. Was to jump onto NXT and go after the season two kids, because they're rookies. They're not superstars yet. It's another something else for the Nexus to do. And as Jason pointed out, we had a numbers game going on with five legends and six NXT guys, 1, 2, 3, 4. Dear, oh dear, they mentioned on the show that Mr. Barrett was in Stanford defending the actions of the Nexus. Actually, he was on a slow boat to the UK.
Or actually, what you would call it, the British Embassy, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
He and Mr. McIntyre are in the same visa studio, the visa room.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I noticed on Raw they made up a kayfabe reason for Barrett, but on SmackDown they just said he was deported. I noticed that was kind of unusual. I guess
well,
it is probably like. Go ahead.
I was going to say,
I figured that it was, you know, the different booking teams, but I don't know, it is kind of an unusual difference.
Well, the situation with Drew was taken care of, not at this SmackDown, but the prior SmackDown, and I thought it was storyline, and a lot of people did, but when it came to light that he was actually deported, he and Barrett were both shipped to the embassy, and apparently both of them have already gotten their paperwork square. Drew, however, will not be in as much of a hurry to get back to television as he needs to sell his own deportation.
That's funny. Hey, I have to sell myself. I have to stay in Scotland for 2 weeks. Oh, boy.
You know, you're breaking my heart. Of course, Seidelman doesn't care. He's off TV. So
yeah, but I do have to ask something though. Seriously.
Yes.
You know, look, and this was asked by a sheet, and I will actually, you know, ask the same question, because they're right. WWE is a multi-million dollar corporation. They probably got to have a pretty good legal and immigration department. Don't you think they would have known what the expiration date of their visas were?
Given that the guys are independent contractors, I bet that multi-million dollar company left it in their hands.
Ah.
Even funnier is that there was one more that was signed at the same time as McIntyre and Barrett, and that's Sheamus. This paperwork's in order, fellas.
I was going to say, I do think, yeah, it is a case of the independent contractors, because, but then again, I thought about Angelina, that whole controversy with hers, because it was in WWE's name or whatever it was.
It was TNA, I believe.
I know, but I think the controversy was that the visa was through WWE, and she, I just thought that it would be good even in TNA. And she had to get that whole thing dressed.
I hadn't heard that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just to warn you, my computer is acting very stupid at the moment, so if this show goes off the air, I apologize.
It's all right.
But we're whittling our way through everything. So the other side of that nasty little brawl with the Nexus and the Legends, although it has been stated and probably proven that what happened Monday night was not what caused Mr. Steamboat to be in the hospital right now with a brain issue. I've heard aneurysm. I've heard a couple of other things. Do we have anybody else here with any further information?
We don't know why it happened. I've heard everything from a brain aneurysm to something not related. We don't know. Some people have said his condition is okay. Some say it's grave. So we're being led on many different paths here. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. I just hope Ricky Steamboat is better. And I don't think we will ever see him in a wrestling ring again. No way.
But it's nice that he did give us, you know, we did get to see him one last, you know, he still got to get some semblance of a send off.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So, Have anybody here picked up the DVD yet?
I did, and as soon as I heard about what happened, I thought it was kind of like messed up that the DVD came out in the same week this stuff happened. But otherwise, it is a good DVD.
That is a little creepy, but we'll make our way through it. Speaking of DVDs, something that's not on my list. The Elimination Chamber DVD is coming out fairly soon, and I'm gonna hit a sore spot, but I'm gonna say it anyway. This is the first non-box set DVD I think to be released that will actually have a Benoit match on it.
They're putting it on. I thought they weren't.
It's my understanding that an updated list is out there, and one of the New Year's Revolution chamber matches that he was in. I think it's the same one where Batista threw Jericho into a cameraman, and I think he used Benoit as a club to kill Jericho, or the other way around. I'd love
okay.
a confirmation of this, because if this is true, I will buy that DVD the day it comes out. Just to support the fact that they're going to let Benoit back on the DVD.
Are you talking about the New Year's Resolution 05? Batista, Benoit, Edge, Jericho, Orton, Triple H? That one?
Yes.
That's the only one he's in it. I don't know if they're going to do that. If they do it, you know what, though?
I'll purchase it day one.
It really surprised me because in some of the DVDs recently, I noticed like a transition back in to history of sorts. Like the last heavyweight championship DVD they came out with, they had, I didn't know if it was a slip or not, but they still had where Michael Cole clarified who Orton beat to become champion when he was doing commentary in a match with Mysterio in 2006. So I'm thinking that they are probably not that fast, but they are going to try to slowly put him back in. Probably not celebrate him too much, but at least say, here he is. He's in our history for better or for worse.
And that's all I've really asked of WWE, and that's, you know, that is why my money did not go to the SmackDown 10th anniversary DVD. But I did buy the WWE Encyclopedia because he does have a half a page in it. So I've got my fingers crossed. When it comes out, I will do my best to be at a Best Buy day one. I'm going to look at the lineup on the back of the DVD, and if it's on there, I will buy it right there.
Even if it's only in clips.
I would hope that the matches would be placed on there in their entirety.
Okay.
If it's clips, they're going to take out. If it's clips, I'll wait, because if it's clips, they can do what they did, like they've done with the Money in the Bank video packages, because Benoit was in the original.
Was he in the 05 match, the one they've been showing with Edge?
Yeah. There's a guy, they show a few shots of someone prone on the ground wearing red tights. I think that was him.
Amazing. Amazing.
So, but I was going to ask, how early, because I forgot a lot of the details of that match. What order was he eliminated in? Was he among the first, or was he in there for quite a while?
Well, Money in the Bank's not elimination style, but...
The chamber, I meant.
Oh, the chamber. I know he was not the first one eliminated. I know that much. Because that was also, wasn't that the one also that Shawn Michaels refereed?
Yes.
Okay. So, I don't believe he was the first one eliminated. I could be wrong. I'd have to research that, but my computer's being really stupid right now, so I'm not going to risk any kind of digging around.
Well, I mean, I could check. I mean, let's see. Okay, what was it, 2005?
New Year's resolution. But let's see, with the Money in the Bank matches, with the Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming up, given the shortage of time, I've noticed that both shows have decided to skip the formalities of qualifying matches for the most part. As Raw went ahead and announced all eight of them by a Rob Zombie who sounded absolutely bored out of his mind for being out in the ring in the first place. Dude, if you don't want to be there and you just want to go back there and the bits with Edge and Jericho, then just show up for that. Let's go find somebody who actually wants to be a guest host. SmackDown, six of the eight were announced. If I remember correctly, those six were Kane, Big Show, Kofi, Matt Hardy, Christian, and who'd I miss?
I want to say MVP, but I can't remember if he was one of them.
No, he wasn't. I don't believe he's one of them.
All right.
I missed part of the announcement. I was late getting. I was working overtime tonight, and I was late getting home. I will say though.
Oh, and by the way, just a quick question: Benoit was eliminated second in the match, but he entered second. It was Benoit and Jericho.
Okay.
He's in the first 26 minutes of the match.
All right.
So unless they have 8 minutes of match, you know.
And like I said, you know, if they're going to show it in clips, then no, I'm not going to buy it because they will do everything they can to edit him out. If the match is not in there in its entirety, then I'm not going to buy it. I will go find New Year's Revolution 05.
Yep.
And pay for that.
And then your elimination chamber will be complete, pretty much.
Yes.
I would.
But you know what though? I will say this though: if you do it that way, that's fine because it's a great match sort of deal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know.
The pay-per-view itself was pretty darn cursed. This was the first New Year's Revolution, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And like two or three people got injured within the first hour of the show.
I know it was Dinsmore and Lita both had ACL injuries.
Yeah,
right.
Actually, same injury.
And it just had a bad precedent that you know we didn't run into that kind of creepiness till this year with Over the Limit. So. But I'm not going to dwell any further on that. I have five of the six people that were set up for the SmackDown Money in the Bank match. Kane, Big Show, Kofi Kingston, Matt Hardy, Christian. I'm trying to figure out who my number six is.
I can get it for you. Hold on.
Thank you. And once we get that number six, my question, so I'll give you guys a couple minutes to think about this. Who should the other two be?
Well, let me look at the six before I...
Mm-hmm. That's why I want to have those six before I answer this question.
I can half answer this question if McIntyre gets the whole immigration thing taken care of in time. I could see him finding a way to kind of weasel his way in to...
Here we go. Kane, Christian, Kofi, Big Show, Matt Hardy, Cody Rhodes.
Cody, that's who I forgot. Cody Rhodes.
At tonight's promo, if you missed it, when he was in front of the mirror, that was actually quite funny.
It was. He's really enjoying his new persona as dashing Cody Rhodes.
Yes, yes. Doofus, there you go. Doofus Cody Rhodes. MVP Jeff. MVP and Drew.
I'm sorry, yeah. Just one thing, Cody.
Baby oil!
MVP and Drew McIntyre, definitely. Those should round it out. I mean, that's about right.
Am I still on?
From the looks of things, there's five faces and one pseudo heel in the match.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got Cody is a full heel, Christian and Matt, whose promo. Pretty much they're going to be in an actual rivalry, but neither one of them are heel yet. Kofi, of course, is face. Show is face, and Kane is very strong tweener. He doesn't care. He's going to kill everybody.
Especially CM Punk.
Yes.
CM Punk can't do it.
He had surgery on his arm over the weekend.
Ah, so that's legit. All right.
Yeah, that is absolutely legit. It was a pre-scheduled surgery. He's going to be out about a month. He just
is
working with...
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think they also kind of took away him wanting Punk to be blamed in the storyline tonight.
They did. Serena came out and made a point that the night that Taker was found, Punk and Gallows had to go to, had crashed into a bar that Serena apparently was out, breaking her code of straight edge.
Was she drinking?
She was drinking, yep. And she had a young man with her that was encouraging it, who beat feet as soon as Punk, Gallows, and our masked mystery Mercury man came in and escorted, roughly, Ms. Serena out of the bar. So, for the time being, the Straight Edge Society is clear. Which only means Kane's just going to get worse and start, you know, beating everybody else up at random. Getting quickly back to the Money in the Bank thing. Fourth, did you have two people in mind?
Definitely McIntyre, and I'll probably say MVP gets in, or even Dolph Ziggler. One of those two. I can't really decide which one.
That wouldn't be bad. VRME still with us?
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Since we need to round up the heel quota here, I'm going to go with Drew and Dolph here, since Swagger is otherwise detained with the world title match.
Swagger's got the rematch with Mysterio, and I definitely wouldn't mind seeing Ziggler in there. I mean, Ziggler didn't do too bad. My brain is malfunctioning. He did Money in the Bank this year at Mania, right? Or am I just having...
Hold on.
I might be having a brain fart, but I would love to see Ziggler involved this year with
Let's
this
see.
One.
Money in the Bank was Swagger, Shelton, Evan, Christian, Hardy, Kane, Kofi, Drew, MVP, and Ziggler.
Okay, so Ziggler was there. So, yeah, Ziggler needs another shot. And you're right, we do need a couple more heels in there. Drew could make him, you know, could show up the Friday before and say, Mr. McMahon took care of my visa issues and said, I am in this match. So there. And I expect the same thing to happen to him. I expect something at the beginning of the match where essentially they all gang up on him and throw him out of the ring. Which would be nice.
Yeah.
What else have we got going on? So I'm just jumping around a bit here. We've had our first elimination on NXT, and I know our game show geeks had fun with the fact that the physical challenges are back on the show.
I will say Caval, his promo about refusing to do it, that was actually kind of funny.
Well, he had a point. That cake probably did weigh as much as he did.
Depending on what beer you had in it. Oh, I'm sorry. Water. Yeah.
Actually, I was expecting Husky Harris to sit and to actually just tap it, pump it, and start drinking it right there. Anyway.
he looked like he had the gut to go with it.
That would probably fit Riley's frat boy character a little more.
That's true. Riley would do it. Either one of them, or they fight over it. Either way, now I'm gonna bring out a very unpopular opinion. I'm gonna say that actually it's okay that these physical challenges are part of the NXT experience, as it were. What I have noticed in the last couple of weeks, when you watch NXT, is when you have an all rookies match, the crowd isn't as into it as they probably should be. And just for the record, NXT is usually taped before SmackDown.
Correct.
So that means it is the part of NXT's job is to get the crowd involved. And
well, there was
when
a reason.
No, you're fine. When the crowd is looking at guys don't know anything about, don't know much about, they're going to sit on their hands.
Especially when it was live this particular week.
Right, and that's why I think the physical challenge is, you know, gives you something else to look at. It's a little bit of variety. And in the case of this week, we got a little bit of comedy out of it. I'm looking at you, Titus O'Neil.
That I was going to ask if that was part of the plan or if they had to just rebook on the fly. That was actually quite funny.
No, what was really...
Go ahead.
Sorry, what was really funny was Alex Riley tripping himself.
Somebody who should know something about carrying a keg around, no matter what's in it. But I think some of the clumsiness that we saw might have been scripted just because it was Lucky Cannon who won.
I see that they are putting over the whole Lucky nickname that they brought up. You know, how it took him the rehabilitation, physical rehabilitation, that he feels lucky. I see what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I say that if they continue to use the physical challenges to win immunity, since the prizes thing the first season went over like a lead balloon, Wade Barrett is still waiting for his entrance music. I see Lucky picking up a couple more immunities before the whole thing is over with.
I'll be honest.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's somewhat unrelated, but if they kind of tone down Percy Watson's character, I could see him definitely doing very well because it seems like it's a little too much, but I like the idea of him kind of having this unusual persona that he has. You know, I don't know about the glasses and the ring and maybe a lot of the fidgeting, but otherwise it's kind of fun.
I think I know what it is. I've discovered what it is about him that irritates me. It's not his energy. Anybody with that kind of energy deserves to be in the ring. But some of his promo work, how he comes across, how he sounds, and some of how he acts, unfortunately, the first thing it raises up behind me is Abraham Washington. And I don't want to wish that on him. I do see him as a top four finisher in this group. I see him very much as a top four finisher in this group. He's way the heck over the top and was probably outshining Darren Young because I believe they were a tag team at FCW. So, you know, that kind of energy is something that the WWE definitely needs. So he's not going to win it, but he's going to go far. I look forward to seeing how far he gets. So in mentioning of another league, I'm going to go take a look at another league. TNA has a couple of things going on besides their own angry monster Abyss, who keeps talking about they. Fourth, I don't know if you watch TNA on a regular basis, but do you think they might be this slow rebuilding of ECW that's going on right now?
I get the feeling that's what it is, but it does seem a little unusual because it would be not really that coincidentally he's starting to get back into being the hardcore persona that he's had dormant for the last couple of years. It wouldn't be that much of a coincidence to me.
VRM, have you watched enough TNA to really say anything about this situation?
Not really, but I have been noticing that the ECW contingent has been getting larger slowly. I mean, now we're adding Rhino into the mix this week, right?
Yes, Rhino.
Right.
Rhino showed up with Raven and Stevie and Tommy, and they took in the show. And Uncle Paul, if you're listening, I would really like to know: are you actually going to move? Are you actually going to sneak down south? And how long are you going to last with Bischoff and Hogan to the left and Russo to the right? I think we'd get better video out of the booking meeting.
Talk about your unholy alliances.
I don't think
the wrestling universe can handle that.
No. I think the internet wrestling community's head would explode.
The internet period. The internet period would explode.
Yes, I think the IWC would actually spread this further outside of internet. Once it hits the IWC, it spreads to Facebook, and that's it. The internet collapses.
Holy crap. I'm sorry. Dana White just posted a picture on his Twitter of Shane Carwin. The man is jacked, okay? He's huge. And Lesnar, by the way, looks intense. Too. It's going to be a damn war.
Oh.
I wish I could see this. I really do. I just don't
know. It's going to be epic.
I know it's going to be epic. I don't want to spend $50 on it for just that one match, and I don't want to be in a Hooters at 1 o'clock in the morning. Nothing good happens in a sports bar after 1 o'clock in the morning.
You ain't kidding, but yeah, that's gonna be epic. Oh, and by the way, Brock in one.
I was gonna say Brock.
Go ahead, Forrest.
I was gonna say I think Brock will win, but I think it'll go to a decision.
Ooh, I'd love to see that.
I'm going the way I see it. The way I've watched Shane. Shane Carwin's matches, comparing to Lesnar. Yes, Lesnar has the speed, but it just takes that one second, Shane Carwin, with either hand, can drop Lesnar. I'm going to go, Lesnar will escape the first round, Shane will pick him out in the second round. Shane in two.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
I'm going to take Lesnar in two. Carwin's going to have to chase Lesnar around a little bit, because Lesnar's going to be is going to be tentative to start, only because he just needs to get his legs back under him in the ring. And once he's confident in how he feels, then Carwin's going to start running. And he might want to climb the fence and yell for JR to start calling the match to save his ass. Yo, JR, please say it. Please say it. Somebody stop the damn match.
because let me tell you something. Lesnar is one pissed off dude right now, because he's been out of the ring since UFC 100. He wants in, and he wants to be the baddest motherfucker on the planet. Excuse my language. He wants to be it, and he wants to prove to the world that he can do it. And change is his biggest test, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Another MMA news. Fedor lost? Fedor tapped.
What?
Oh, I heard about that.
Fedor tapped?
Fedor tapped last week against Fabricio Werdum to a triangle with armbar.
Well, there goes. Is that like his first loss?
It's his second official loss. His first loss was from a cut. This is like his first legit loss.
Wow. So Lesnar even has more to shoot for in this case. Because if he wins and wins decisively, like he did against Frank Mir in UFC 100, because he did. He beat the holy hell out of him for two rounds.
Right.
For Fedor, I don't want to spoil 300, but if anyone saw what happened toward the end with Xerxes, it's kind of like that. The whole god image is kind of rattled.
Let's see. Did I get through everything on here? I think I did. I do believe I did. Did we miss anything? Does anybody else can think of some news that we need to touch on? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, I do have something. Because Jason sent it to me. Doot. Going back to Martha Hart and her, I think we agreed last week, was a very frivolous lawsuit against the WWE regarding Owen. Brett has chimed in on the matter. I'm not going to read this whole thing because he had a lot to say. Essentially that what she's doing is essentially a look at me kind of thing. It might not be something aimed at Linda, but just to say, you know, pay attention to me, or just to make some money. Brett's like, this is kind of silly. This is kind of ridiculous. You know, this was settled. This was settled shortly after the court case was settled. You know, she and Vince were able to settle this all on good terms on their own. You know, let's just move on. She's going to need to move on too.
Yeah, and put it to you this way, there's no love lost between the two of them.
So, the dust should be more or less settled from that. I don't think it's not going to do anything to Linda's campaign. I'm sorry, it won't. And Brett now being out of the picture, it's my understanding that his contract has pretty much wrapped up. He seemed a little, I don't want to say out of sorts, but he just wasn't quite all there. But it was good to shake his hand, and Brett, thank you for signing my encyclopedia and signing a program for my dear trainer, Sweetly Roberts, who I know isn't listening because the man doesn't have the internet. Dumbass. Anyway. I can only say that now because he can't hear me.
Okay.
So we've got about a minute or so to go. Forrest, do you have anything to plug?
Nothing except for Typho Show, if he's listening. Otherwise, that's it.
Okay. There was nobody in the chat room, so the chat room is officially closed. VRM, I'm sure you have something to plug.
Yes, WrestleCraft Sports Digest closing in on the World Cup final next Sunday. We have some Wimbledon coming up this week, the end of the first half of the MLB season, and getting ready for our NFL previews, which I think start either this week or next week, I forget which.
Probably next week. Jason, I know you've got something to plug.
You mean just in general, the fact that it is Independence Day and all that? Or just my normal, you know, just We Love to Interrupt and all that, that GameShowNewsNet.com, that stuff?
Very good. And I'm going to grab the last 30 seconds to say that I apologize that NikkiHayman.com is not updated. My desktop still needs rebooting. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. We're going to be back next week. I actually want some listeners. North American Wrestling Connection says good night, good luck, and next week, Let's see what else the Nexus has in mind. Gentlemen, good night.
Good night.
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 Sweet, folks. Thank you.